Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. I'm your host, Peter Brady.
I was going to say, what's happening over there?
I am a radio professional. I'm a voice professional. You can tell.
Can I say my name now, or are you going to? Would you like to talk some more first, or?
You should see. Sydney's giving me the double bird. Why?
I'm not.
Why, hun? Why the double bird?
I'm Sydney McElroy.
Dr. Sydney McElroy. She always
insists that I clarify. You were always like, you should use the doctor, and I never do.
I would have my first name legally changed to Dr. Justin, because I would never want anyone to refer me to
We had that just last week's episode, right? About Doctor.
Doctor, doctor. Yeah.
Doctor. They just call me the doctor at Harmony House a lot of the times.
That's cool.
I know. I didn't ask them to. This was not me. This sounds like something I have set up, but.
I mean, with all due respect, hun, you are the doctor there. It's not, I mean, it is well, a charming nickname, but it is also a factual statement.
Yeah, it's just because there's not another one.
There's not another one, so you are in a definite article.
I like the definite article. Well, I guess I'll start talking since Justin decided this was the moment to take a very long swig of coffee.
What is, hey, Smurl, who pee-peed in your cornflakes today? You were like so spicy.
Our youngest woke us up so early.
Oh my God.
And I had already not been sleeping well. She's so excited about finding Clarice, which is the name of our elf on the shelf, that she gets up now at like 5 a.m. and wakes us up and won't go back to sleep.
If you want to tell us the elf on the shelf is bad and a bad idea, I know, folks. I know.
We were much younger. It's too late for that.
We didn't instigate this legend in our household. It was instigated at a grandparent's home, and then it became strange that we did not have one, so we have been unwilling,
yes,
roped into the elf. We get it, okay? Trust us. No one hates the elf more than us.
Yes, but we were woken up very early. I'm doing my best. I'm not.
Why
I'm
is
not
your
firing
best
on like, all cylinders?
You are though. At me, it's like so spicy. All I'm asking is just like I was in the same bed
up
with the child.
No. Justin decided to take a nap, and I couldn't. Once I'm up, I'm up. I can't like. I don't nap. Once it's daytime, it's daytime.
This is
I'm
not
awake.
A nap.
I don't nap.
I'm sorry. This is not a nap. That was a false wake up. I just went back to bed.
I don't like naps. It's daytime. I'm up. I'll sleep when it's dark. But I made
That's
soup.
That's what Sydney does every night, by the way. 5:30 to 5:30 during the winter. 12 hours. If the sun's down, she's down. That's her rule.
Oh, I'm a summer girl. I made soup. It was great soup. I made soup at 8 a.m. is what I did.
Now who's stalling? Okay. I thought you wanted to do a podcast.
But the soup, Justin, the soup had a lot of spices.
Yeah.
And maybe some people would find it hard on their tummies if they don't tolerate things like garlic and chili and stuff well.
Are your feet tired from the long walk you were taking? They must be.
You know what they might need?
Tell me, Sid.
Some Pepto-Bismol.
Were you on the stairs coming down to record and you're like, I got it? Is this why you burst in the door and you're like...
This was on the fly. I just did this right now off the top of my head.
Is this why you burst in the door and said, J-Man, don't sweat the intro. I got it, baby. And then you put on your sunglasses? Is that for that?
I don't have my sunglasses on. I have my glasses on. I couldn't even put my sunglasses on unless I wanted to wear one over the other, which I have done before, and it's so uncomfortable.
Spicy soup. Why are we talking spicy soup?
Because afterwards you might
she grew
feel
it all.
Like
by the way,
need...
I get to brag. She grew it all. She grew the delicata in this soup. She grew the herbs in this soup.
I didn't have enough
scallion for this soup.
Yeah, Yeah, I didn't have enough just yellow onion, so I had to use the scallions.
So proud.
I was proud.
Okay.
I don't think a lot about Pepto-Bismol. I didn't come from a Pepto-Bismol house.
Okay.
We don't have it in our house now, and I didn't have it in my house growing up, so it wasn't, you know, like, I feel like a lot of people use it, but it's not a thing you're a fan of either, right?
Well, I hate it, but we were a Pepto house.
Like, we did.
I remember actually when my dad used to, he still frequently does, judges the Chili Fest. If you're ever around in September, by the way, folks, come down to Chili Fest. It's a lot of fun. You'll enjoy yourself. Anyway, dad used to be a judge, and I remember he had a holster that they gave him, a like faux leather holster for his Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
That he could like put in there because, you know, chili, hard on the tummy. Well, it's a bit of a gag. But I remember that is my biggest memory of Pepto-Bismol. It was enough of a thing that like they absolutely did it, but I could never stomach it. I mean, I find it repellent.
It just wasn't something we ever used. And it's not for kids, so we wouldn't have it for our kids. And we say that several times throughout the episode. It's not for kids.
Not for kids.
Not for kids under
12.
Sorry,
kids.
And really, it's really more of an adult. There are lots of other medicines for kids that work better and are safer. It's not for kids. I also have always kind of thought, like, isn't there stuff that works better than that? Is that really what we need? I guess I'm biased against it. I'm kind of like—
You do. You got a problem with it.
I do. And so I'm glad we're doing this episode about it because I think I was a little bit unfairly biased against it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I was. But I did assume that everybody knew about it. It feels so ubiquitous.
It does.
Everyone knows about Pepto-Bismol.
Yes.
So I was really surprised when we got the following email, which we were given authorization to share. Hi, guys. I'd like to propose a brand episode. Well, you're not doing this, though.
No. This is all Sid.
Yes. On the mysterious pink and kind of ominous-looking substance that is Pepto-Bismol. Backstory, I'm from Iceland, and the other day I was at a pharmacy in my hometown getting my meds when an American couple walks in. They wait in line, then they go to the counter and ask for a bottle of Pepto-Bismol. When they are told that Pepto-Bismol is not sold in Iceland, they are flabbergasted.
Wild.
As am I. They ask for something else that will soothe an upset stomach, fix heartburn, relax your esophagus, and most importantly, it had to taste good. I was baffled. Is Pepto-Bismol an old patent medicine? Do adults drink it? Why is it that color? Why does it taste like this? Is it a cure-all? Does it do anything? Please help me. All my best, Thora. Thank you, Thora, because I didn't know that there are a lot of places in the world where there's no Pepto-Bismol.
If you don't have Pepto-Bismol, you probably have, there's probably a lot of products like it in your country where it seems weird that it is even sold. It just seems like there is one in everybody's medicine cat. Like, you don't remember getting it. You don't know why you
Everyone
have it.
Everyone just has
like
Pepto-Bismol.
You just have Pepto-Bismol. We do not, because we're pretty strict about it. But, like, most people probably just have some lying around.
Yes.
Especially
yeah.
like 20 years. A lot more prevalent in the era before. I feel like some of those proton pump inhibitors. They
or PPIs for
they
short.
Got really big, and I think Pepto-Bismol got a little bit less ubiquitous whenever it was popping Nexium and et cetera.
Exactly, that's what you're talking about with proton pump inhibitors, things like Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, all those kinds of meds.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. I don't feel like it's as common, although I will say I'm asked for it a lot, and the only reason that we don't commonly have it at Harmony House because we get tons of donations that I don't like approve or disprove. They just arrive. That's why we have occasionally we have some homeopathic medicines within our donated pharmacy.
For a bit.
For long enough for me to say, oh, no. but we don't actually get donated a lot of Pepto-Bismol. And I don't, when we do our purchasing, when we have grants where we can actually buy OTC, over-the-counter meds, OTC, I don't usually think of it. But we do get asked for it a lot. And if you're not familiar with it, the thing that makes Pepto-Bismol so well-known, I think outside of, like, everybody knows it's for stomach stuff, is its color.
Yes.
It's bright pink. It's famously pink. It is so known for being pink that you can say something is Pepto-Bismol colored, and pretty much anybody would know.
I want to say, didn't we talk about this during? Remember that color episode where the person thought there was a certain
Baker Miller pink.
Like it is like that. Like Pepto-Bismol pink is just like it's ubiquitous. It is so pink.
Yes, you know what that is. You can use Pepto-Bismol as a shorthand for pink.
Right.
It's so common. So. What is it? I mean, I think the first thing to what is it? It's a pink medicine. It comes in a liquid or a tablet. I think most people think about the liquid, but it is in a tablet too, if you'd prefer. And it is a staple. The active ingredient that we're going to talk about is bismuth subsalicylate, There's a ton of generics of Pepto-Bismol. So if you see pink bismuth on anything, if you, I mean, obviously if it says bismuth subsalicylate, these are the same thing essentially as Pepto-Bismol. Right. It's sold, I guess there's some other names, Pepto-Calm and Bisbacter. Never heard those. Might be outside the U.S.
Yeah.
Brand names, possibly. Never heard those names.
Very common for that. Vicks has a different name in the UK, for example, like I think.
Yes. So if you have a, but it's as far as I know, it's pink everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Which doesn't come from the compound. Bismuth subsalicylate is not pink. It's like beige, in case you're curious. So how does it work? It's interesting. It's one of those medicines where we don't know entirely all of the things it does or how. Mm-hmm. We know some of its mechanism of action for sure, but there are still some more like theoretical, like we also think it does this and we think it probably works like this too, but we're not 100% sure. I always think that's interesting.
There was a lot of advertising, like when the, during the, especially during like, I want to say like the 90s, this is the most thing where like it was one of those where the tagline of it listed all the different things it could do. Mm-hmm. It was like the heartburn, stomach, blah, 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 something medicine. It was just like, it was promoted for like, no matter what's wrong with you, as long as it's in the, below your nipples and above your crotch, Pepto-Bismol is there for you.
Well, do you remember the, like, I remember what it can be used for because they said it so many times in the commercial that it became like that was, I was going to quiz you. Do you remember?
Heartburn.
Uh-huh.
Upset stomach.
Uh-huh.
Diarrhea.
Uh-huh.
Indigestion?
Yes.
That's sour stomach?
You're forgetting one thing.
For upset stomach, sour stomach, heartburn, acid indigestion.
See, the more recent one was nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. You don't remember that?
I'm going to need diarrhea clean so we can use it as a text tone for people.
No, I won't do that. I won't do that. I was going to quiz you on that. But yeah, that was in the advertising, for which I remember
old
all that.
Jingle.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what did they put in? What's the new?
Nausea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where the breakdown is for me on Pepto-Bismol, because that would 100% exacerbate any nausea that I was.
Have you ever taken the tablets though? Because they don't. I mean, like it's a little easier, I think, than the liquid. I think liquid medicines, if you don't like the flavor of something, a liquid can be really rough, right?
Yeah.
Like NyQuil or DayQuil, if you don't like those meds.
Yeah.
They come in capsules now. Anyway.
You know what else? I just remembered that's weird about this. Pink Chiclets have the Pepto-Bismol flavor. I remember, mm-hmm. like, the ones that were pink.
Yes.
You think they're going to be, like, strawberry
or berry? We're
going
to get to the
flavor. Okay, sorry.
We're going to get to the flavor.
All right.
Okay. So the subsalicylate part, so when we say bismuth subsalicylate, that's separated out. That might sound familiar to you if you, you know, certainly if you're a chemistry person. But also, like, do you take aspirin regularly? Because then that salicylic acid, you might start to see where this derivative, what is this a compound of? Like, what is it? You know, use for. And also, maybe if you ever had acne and used some over-the-counter acne medications, salicylic acid is very common.
That's in those Tums with the gas
stuff. No. That's simethicone. That's a totally other thing.
Salicylic acid, is that what's in Stridex pads?
I believe some Stridex pads do have that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's benzoyl peroxide in some stuff for acne, and then there's salicylic acid in other stuff for acne over-the-counter. But yes, if you look at if you have acne products, you may see this. Anyway, so it's in that same family. And you may remember, because we've talked about aspirin on the show before, I'm fairly certain, because it famously comes from willow bark. It's from plants. We derived salicylates, things that are salts of salicylates and salicylic acid from plants, from willow bark. It's in wintergreen leaves. And acetyl salicylic acid is aspirin. That is what aspirin is.
Okay.
So we know that does something, right? Because we know this is a chemically active compound.
Right.
We know that's medically active. And we know that it's absorbed very well. When we take Pepto-Bismol, we absorb enough of that for it to get into our bloodstream at therapeutic levels.
Right.
To do something.
We love it.
Yes. The subsalicylate part of the medication, the way it's supposed to work, is to reduce inflammation, which is similar to what salicylates do in other compounds,
okay.
right? So basically, it's going to get in there, reduce the inflammation in the intestinal or stomach wall, and that's going to make you feel better. That okay. makes sense.
Sure.
So like there, that you know, that that is a sensible thing. The bismuth part is interesting. Bismuth is a metal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's actually very poorly absorbed. It gets into your stomach and it's broken down and creates bismuth salts, which are insoluble pretty much. So you're not going to accumulate a ton of that, which is important to know because accumulating a ton of bismuth is dangerous, which is, as we'll get into, part of why it's banned some places.
But is it still having an effect? Like even if, you, if yes, you're absorbing it?
They have found that it has some, the salts themselves that are formed have antimicrobial activity, meaning okay. they can kill and then prevent the adhesion of certain types of bacteria. And then they have also found that it can increase the reabsorption of fluid. So if you're having diarrhea and you're worried about dehydration.
There you go.
There you go. So, and it also can decrease inflammation and some secretions of stuff in the intestines. So there is definitely chemical basis for both of these components addressing these issues. So like, I think the question of like, is this one of those fake cure-all patent medicines that everybody, because they're like, and I know that sounds like a wild thing to say, like, well, but it's being sold for, it's been sold for this long. It has FDA approved uses.
Mm-hmm.
There are several that are like vetted by the FDA that we have studies to back up. But even with all that, we definitely have medicines that we use over the counter to this day that right. people consider mainstays that do not do anything. That is still
true. What's the first one that comes to your mind?
Oh gosh, it's like any cold medicines.
Yeah, those are kind
of
tough.
I mean, phenylephrine, right? Like there's been a ton of recent data about the fact that like phenylephrine, which is found in a lot of over-the-counter like sinus or like combo cold meds. If you look at like one of those cold and sinus meds that have like five different things in them, phenylephrine is probably one of them. And it doesn't do anything. So, I mean, but unlike that, Pepto-Bismol does do stuff. And like I said, it's supposed to treat nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. So you can see how it would become a mainstay of sort of, especially in the U.S.,
yeah.
our home, you know, pharmacy. It everybody gets
you just have on hand.
Yeah. Right. So there's definitely active compounds. And there are studies to back it up. Like I wanted to, one in particular, there was a 1987 study that actually suggested you should take two tablets of Pepto-Bismol four times a day if you're traveling to reduce your risk of traveler's diarrhea. And it works.
Really?
Yes. Reduce the risk by more than 60%.
That's wild.
Yeah. It was a small study. People challenged it, of course, because it was smaller, but there definitely was evidence that taking Pepto-Bismol not only could treat these things, but could actually prevent you from getting, traveler's diarrhea.
Huh.
There've also been some placebo-controlled studies to show that it can be used for dyspepsia, so like upset stomach, reflux, that kind of thing. And then, for Helicobacter pylori, which is a specific bacteria that causes stomach ulcers, It is commonly used. Now, this is an off-label prescribing, but it is commonly used in combination with two antibiotics and a proton pump inhibitor to treat this infection.
Hmm.
So that there's a four drug regimen that is often prescribed for that, and that is part of it. So it works for stuff.
Hey.
So let's get into like where did it come from, who made it, and why is it not everywhere?
Okay.
After we go to the billing department,
let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. We were going through our Christmas gift list over here at the McElroy household
And there were at least two folks this year that are getting Aura frames. Now, I can't tell you who because I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it is really hard to find gifts for people that you really care about and make it feel like personal, you know? But Aura is a really great way of doing that. It's a great digital photo frame. It is named the number one, actually, by Wirecutter, the strategist, Wired. We could go on. It's a really lovely gift to give to somebody. Maybe even if they're not like super tech savvy, you can set this photo frame up ahead of time. And then once it's there in their home, if you are out and about and you capture a memory you want to share, you can use the Aura app to just send it like directly to that frame. So like you're making the memories and you're sharing the memories like within minutes. Can you imagine? That's a lovely gift for somebody that you care about. They're going to be able to keep up with your life. And hey, if you've gotten them one before, maybe in another room. Maybe they could have a themed room. You know, in this room, I only want pictures of Justin. What a room that would be. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames named number one by Wirecutter by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, sleepyheads. Sleeping with Celebrities is your podcast pillow pal. We talk to remarkable people about unremarkable topics, all to help you slow down your brain and drift off to sleep. For instance, we have the remarkable Neil Gaiman.
I'd always had a vague interest in live culture, food preparation.
Sleeping with Celebrities, hosted by me, John Moe, on MaximumFun.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Night night.
Somewhere in an alternate universe where Hollywood is smarter.
And the Emmy nominees for Outstanding Comedy Series are Jetpacula, Airport Marriott, Frepple, Dear America, We've Seen You Naked, and Allah in the Family.
In our stupid universe, you can't see any of these shows, but you can listen to them on Dead Pilot Society, the podcast that brings you hilarious comedy pilots that the networks and streamers bought but never made. Journey to the alternate television universe of Dead Pilot Society on MaximumFun.org.
So, Sydney, why is this not a ubiquitous thing? Why are we not all absolutely obsessed?
I'm going to get into why it's not. I want to tell you, like, while I've made a case for the fact that it does actually do some stuff.
Right.
And this doesn't mean everybody should always be taking Pepto-Bismol. I always try to...
That would be wild.
I always try to list what the side effects and, like, contraindications. And as always, you shouldn't... Nothing I'm telling you is any sort of medical advice. Everybody's care is individualized. Please seek the help of your own healthcare professional.
Who
is not a podcast.
Your doctor can't be a podcast. I'm sorry, no. Folks. I've done the research.
But the thing that it was used for originally, the thing that it was made for, it probably wasn't the best treatment for. So Pepto-Bismol, and I will say the use of these bismuth salts, mm-hmm. like we find in Pepto-Bismol, actually date back to like the 1700s. The idea that they could be used for diarrhea is an older idea. But what we know now as Pepto-Bismol, mm-hmm. or at least the roots of it, really start in 1901. Now, I searched and searched for the name of this doctor. All I find is a New York doctor. A New York doctor made this stuff. A New York doctor. I don't know who the New York doctor is.
A New York doctor.
A New York doctor. I searched and searched. I'm like Googling, like, who is the New York doctor who made Pepto-Bismol?
Hey, listen.
Somebody's going to know this and tell me.
Hey, yeah, somebody will know it and tell you, but like, hey, no lie. We've been doing this show long enough. I hear that Pepto-Bismol is exactly crowing about the person who invented it, and my alarm bells start to go off what don't you want us to find out?
Now, see, it's 1901. Usually when the roots are a little foggy, it's because it was a Nazi.
I didn't want to say.
Well, that's a lot of medical history. This would have been a weird time. It's 1901.
Yeah.
But still.
Still.
But still, no, there is. And I mean, for good reason.
It's also possible he stole it from somebody who wasn't a white man, because that is the other one that gets that tends to cloud that.
And then sometimes it's a little bit of astroturfing where the company is going back and making up a backstory. Yes. I am not saying in any way that Procter & Gamble has done this. Absolutely.
We're
I am
just
not
asking the questions.
Saying that. I'm saying that there are times where you see this sort of story of like the doctor who came up with this or whatever, and that's maybe not really true. It's just to sell something. One way or another, somebody came up with it. And the way the story goes is that it was so popular, this compound that was originally called Bismasol Mixture Cholera Infantum.
That sounds like a fantasy novel. The Epic of Bismasol.
Mixture Cholera Infantum.
Cycle one, Mixture Cholera Infantum.
So Bismasol is a good name. But it was so popular, he or she, but it's 1901, let's be honest, probably
let's be honest,
he, probably yeah. he, that he could not keep up with the demand because he was making it at home.
Right.
And so in order to try to make enough to meet the demand, he basically sold his formula to Norwich Pharmacal Company with this original name, Bismasol. And they were manufacturing it in like 20-gallon drums of Bismasol to get out there.
And we're also agreed with this sale. We're definitely changing the name just the moment we can.
Yeah. And they, and by the way, if you probably guessed from Mixture Cholera Infantum, it was originally aimed at babies with cholera.
Yes.
That's what it was made for. Like, we had this really deadly disease because cholera was and still is today, if not treated and managed properly, if you don't have the right resources to treat it. Cholera was definitely very dangerous for the young who can't sustain a ton of fluid loss, you know, easily. And so they would become severely dehydrated and maybe die of cholera. So this was supposed to help treat that diarrhea and, you know, keep you alive until you kind of ran its course, which can happen with cholera. Although today I will say we treat it totally different. Like, we don't use Pepto-Bismol for cholera, certainly. Yeah. We use fluid replacement and antibiotics because we have antibiotics now,
yeah,
thank goodness.
They're great.
In 1919 is when we see it renamed Pepto-Bismol and we see it marketed under that name. And later, of course, Norwich would be acquired by Procter & Gamble, who sells it today. That was in 1982. So a very long time that Norwich Pharmaceuticals made this drug. It was bright pink from the beginning. Do you know why?
Why? The flavor?
Kids like pink. I don't know, man. The original creator of the medicine made it pink. It's just an artificial dye. It has nothing to do with what's in it.
That's
it has
hilarious.
Nothing to do with what it does. It has nothing to do with bismuth or salicylates or any of the things. It has nothing to do with the flavor that we're going to get into. It was just pink because it was pink because kids like pink.
But
that
I
was
thought,
the.
I thought it's not for kids though.
Yeah, but at the time,
it was for infants. Okay,
at the time, and that's exactly what I was going to say. While it is not recommended for kids today. Back then, they didn't know about something called Reye's syndrome. And this is why we don't recommend it for children now, is you may have heard if your kid has chicken pox. Well, nobody gets chicken pox in places where the vaccine is available these days. But when we were little,
yes.
We got chicken pox.
Or if your kid, so old.
I know, it does make me feel old. Or if your kid gets the flu or some other viral illness, you may have heard, do not give them aspirin. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yes. This is why, because of the development of something that can be severe and fatal, possibly called Reye's syndrome, which can cause neurological damage and liver damage and all kinds of complications from the interaction between the original viral illness and then administering aspirin. So we know not to give kids aspirin, and since this is a salicylate as well, you also should not give them Pepto-Bismol. Of course, we didn't know all this back in 1901 when it was first made for that. The formula that was originally made in 1901, which would then be changed when it was reformulated in 1919 and called Pepto-Bismol. The original formula was Pepsin, which was known at that point to be a digestive enzyme that can help, you know, break stuff down, help with digestion. Zinc salts, salol, which is a bismuth compound, that's where that comes from, an oil of wintergreen, along with some sort of artificial color to make it pink. The wintergreen part, by the way, is interesting.
Why is that?
Because it is not. So if you look at the flavor of the original, it was oil of wintergreen or tea berry.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tea berry is the berry of the wintergreen plant.
Okay.
You know the flavor of wintergreen.
Yes.
Would you say that Pepto-Bismol tastes like wintergreen?
No.
No. But you did say it was minty, right?
It has a minty-ish, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's minty-ish. It's the tea berry.
Yeah.
It's the oil of wintergreen. It's the tea berry.
Tea berry gum, I know they used to have it at like, it's like an old-timey thing.
Yes.
That flavor people used to enjoy for whatever reason.
Minty-ish.
It's like mint, gross minty, like worst mint, worst. I'm not a big mint guy. The only mint I can kind of mess around with is spearmint. Mm-hmm. I can get into spearmint sometimes.
People like, well, I love mint stuff, but people like tea berry. People like the taste of Pepto.
People are wrong about lots of stuff.
But that's why, even though the current formulation of Pepto-Bismol, like I said, the main active ingredient now is bismuth subsalicylate, so the pepsin is no longer in there. It does still contain the same, like the original Pepto-Bismol does still contain the same flavor from that wintergreen plant, except it's not, instead of using actual wintergreen oil, they just use methyl salicylate, which is the same compound that gives wintergreen oil its flavor. We just synthetically derive the chemical and make it, right? But like so original flavor Pepto-Bismol, tea berry, wintergreen oil, that's what you're tasting. That's why it's pink, but tastes minty.
Okay.
Right? Maybe that's what's off-putting to you, is that we don't think of pink as the color of something that's minty. God,
that's a really interesting, if it was like white or green, I wonder if I would. But I need to chug a whole bottle of Pepto-Bismol and see how.
Well, and that also.
I'm realizing also as we're talking, like, I have not ingested this stuff probably in 30 years.
So. I can't remember the last time I tasted it. I've taken the pills. I can think of times actually in traveling when I've taken the pills, but not the liquid. But that's probably is why it now comes in two flavors.
Cherry.
And original. Cherry. Yeah. The cherry flavored probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
For people, maybe visually and what they expect. Yeah. Like, it looks pink, it tastes like cherry. That, I get it. But some people still prefer that original flavor, that mintiness.
I don't think cherry's any great shakes either. I'm not a big cherry person over here, so I don't know.
On that note, they've actually done studies to see if, like, the color of medicines affects the way people respond or what they look for. What they'll buy is what they're really looking for, right? Like, what people are going to buy and have a positive reaction to. Pink, people definitely assume is sweeter. Not necessarily fruity, but we do assume if something's pink,
it will
taste sweeter.
Yeah.
So it would be a good medicine for if you're trying to attract children to medicine. Now, I would say that if you're trying to attract children to medicine, that's not, great. If you're trying to make medicine that a child needs more palatable, I can see it that way, right? Famously, the amoxicillin you may have taken as a child is pink.
Yeah.
Tastes like bubblegum.
Yeah.
But that's also why we've also done studies to show people see a red or orange medicine and assume it is stimulating and will keep them awake. And if they see a blue or green medicine, they assume it will make them sleepy or drowsy or calm. Can you think of a perfect example of that in
NyQuil?
Yeah, and DayQuil.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, yeah.
DayQuil is red or orangish. Yeah. NyQuil is blue-greenish. I don't know. Yeah, that is probably intentional. Because you will see it and think, this will put me to sleep, and I want to sleep.
Yeah, this looks like night.
Yeah.
Good. This one looks like the sun. I'm going to eat this morning.
Yeah, this one looks like the sun. I'm going to eat it and stay awake all day. Yeah.
God, we're dumb.
I know. There are studies that show all that. Like, there are reasons. And, I mean, again, a lot of this goes into the marketing piece of it.
But that's like food, too, right? Like McDonald's and all the other restaurants use a lot of red and yellow because it makes you hungry. And we're just big, dumb animals walking around. Ooh, red and yellow, I could eat. So stupid.
But as you say that, I'm now thinking about eating McDonald's French fries because they're yellow in a red box, and that makes me hungry to think about. So, so that's where the flavor and the color and all that come from. Why is it not everywhere? The bismuth part. Mm. So there have been scares in the past about bismuth containing medications accumulating, which it can, right? Like any metal, even though it's not very well absorbed, if you're taking enough of it in high doses over time,
mm-hmm.
you will get some of that in there, right?
Right.
Now, they have done a lot of studies to show that if you're taking Pepto-Bismol or any other bismuth-containing substance as prescribed appropriately,
right,
then this is not something that should happen. However, if you don't take it appropriately, and we all know that one guy, right? Like, there's going to be that one guy.
My dad. Who's
going to take, like, a ton of something.
Yeah, my dad. My dad would be the guy. My dad would be the guy that hurt himself with Pepto-Bismol.
Your dad would do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Can I say, though?
The man once knocked himself out dumping ammonia onto kitty litter, or bleach onto kitty litter. So he poured bleach trying to clean up kitty litter, and he knocked himself out with the fumes. So, yeah, Sid. Yeah, I do think that the person that makes up half of my genetic material, it would, as sad as it makes me to say, hurt himself with too much Pepto-Bismol.
Can I, maybe this will comfort you, and if your dad hears this, and then anyone else who does this, if you are thinking, oh no, I am that guy, or that person, I should say. I shouldn't say that guy. I should say that person. If you're that person.
Probably that guy. Let's be honest.
If you're that person, I will say I recently learned after I had this interaction in my day job that sometimes patients will think that their antibiotics will work better if they give themselves like their own little loading dose. Like, I'll take a couple right away or three or four right away to really get it in there and get it working. And then I'll follow the directions on the bottle.
Right.
But I want to give myself a boost. And I started asking around about that and found that that is way more widespread a belief than I ever was taught in medical school or realized, that a lot of people think, well, maybe a little more, we'll get it in there and make it work faster. And like with medicine, the dose makes the poison, right?
Right.
Like sometimes more helps more, sometimes more does not and can be very dangerous. But I think that it's a good thing to recognize is a lot of people have that belief and are doing it with the best of intentions. And we have a lot of things in popular culture that lead to that. I'm rewatching House.
Mm.
Do you know how often a patient is responding to a medicine and House tells them to double the dose? Do you know how wild as a medical professional it is to hear somebody who's supposed to be a doctor telling someone, like, double the dose of their antibiotics to make them better faster? That's not a thing.
They only got 44 minutes, Sid. They got to crank.
There are medicines that higher doses will make them more effective, but then there are other medicines where it's like you use this dose or you don't use this dose, but that's it. That's the thing. That's what works. Anyway. So that was a side note. But you know there's going to be somebody who's going to overuse a medication, and that's the concern in countries like specifically France does not allow these kinds of compounds, and there's some other places. So like in Europe in general, it's not very popular. And obviously in Iceland, it's not something that's sold because of that concern that if your body accumulates enough of those bismuth salts, you could develop some neurotoxicity, some damage to your neurological system, which is a big deal, right? So that is why... You know, and you'll find like travel blogs that will recommend if you're going overseas, just take Pepto-Bismol with you because there is no guarantee that wherever you're going will have Pepto-Bismol available to you, which again, just speaks to how like deeply ingrained it is in the American psyche as something you need.
Yeah.
Take it with you when you go overseas because what if you can't get Pepto-Bismol?
Think about it.
And then again, it is helpful. We have studies that show for traveler's diarrhea. So there's a good reason. It can interact with some meds, like warfarin specifically. So as with anything, if you're thinking of starting an over-the-counter medicine, it's always better, especially something you're thinking about taking all the time. You should talk to your healthcare provider. It's not for kids, especially under 12. Do not use it. It's not for cats. It's very dangerous for cats. I don't know why you want to give it to your cat, but don't.
Bad for cats. Your cat has the poops, obviously.
Over 6 weeks, you should not be using it. So if you're thinking you need it longer than that, you really need to be talking to a medical professional at that point about whatever is causing you to think you need Pepto-Bismol. And it can turn your mouth or your poop black, especially if you eat a lot of sulfur-containing foods or you're taking a medication that's sulfur-based, like Bactrim is an antibiotic.
I'm just pounding those eggs.
Anything that contains a lot of sulfur, there's a reaction, and you like your mouth and tongue can turn black, and then you can turn your poop black, which can be very scary.
Isn't that fuzzy for tongue? People. Can't you get that from
just
the,
black?
Just black.
Just black. It is temporary and it is harmless. The actual turning black of your tongue or your poop, but it can be confusing because your poop can also turn black if there's blood in it. Digested blood, so it can be upsetting and scary and lead to unnecessary testing if you think, you know what I mean? So it's good to know. It's good to know this stuff. And one other wild thing, we just figured out the chemical structure, how it looks under a micro, like how it would look if you could blow it up and look at what the chemical structure looks like. We just figured that out last April, like last year, 2022. It was very difficult to derive the chemical structure of the bismuth subsalicylate, and it took that long. It's been around since, this exact compound has been around since, what did I say, 1919? And we just last year figured out exactly what that structure looks like, which I think is pretty cool.
Well, Sid, if I'm Procter & Gamble right now, I'm breathing a little sigh of relief. You know, when I heard the Sidster was coming for Pepto, I probably was on pins and needles, but I feel like you've been very fair.
I think it does the stuff it says it's going to do, more or less. And obviously it's caught on because it's catchy and it's pink and it's been around for so long. But I think that there is something to the fact that it does actually do something that probably makes it so ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a bad argument to make because a lot of people were taking those cold medicines with phenylephrine. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say it is not the end all be all for nausea, vomiting, or for nausea, heartburn, indigestion, sure, upset stomach, diarrhea. I don't necessarily take it for any of those things. There are other medicines, and I would argue some that probably work a little better.
See, now they're getting worked up again. They're like, she's going back in. Is she going to drop something else on us?
It's not curing. Well, I mean, I think here was the last question. Is it a cure-all?
No.
I think that if you use it to manage those symptoms, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. It is not curing anything per se, right?
Right.
It's not going to, if you have like an underlying problem that is causing it, it's not going to cure it. It's going to help alleviate some of the symptoms of the underlying problem, which as always means if the problem persists, please seek medical attention. Don't sit at home and take more Pepto-Bismol.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you have enjoyed yourself. You know, it's almost candlelight's time here.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, and it is the perfect time to go secure your tickets for the virtual Candle Night Spectacular. We do it every year. It's always fun. It's going to be December 16th at 9 p.m.
Do you want to give him any hint?
We'll be returning to our beloved Medicine Called Christmas franchise. That's all I'm at liberty to say this time.
And there will be songs.
There will be songs. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it is also going to be a great benefit to Harmony House, a shelter that Sydney has a lot of experience with that provides services for people experiencing homelessness in our area. You can get tickets right now. Head on over to bit.ly/CandleNights2023. Got lots of guests, got lots of fun, got lots of songs, got lots of tears. I don't know. You'll have to watch to find out. And if you purchase that, by the way, you don't have to watch it live. There's a VOD for 15 days after the show. So fantastic. I hope you'll make it. Thanks to Taxpayers Fuse for our song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. But thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.